First Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32 says, "And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do." Now, we know what this is all about. There's an understanding of our times from Scripture, and you got to start out with Scripture for everything. But the Scripture gives us guidance, guideposts in thought and philosophy in our doctrines to understand and analyze our, and critique our culture, the times that we live in. What's going on? I concluded the previous lesson saying, living in a world of sin and Satan, lies and deception are the norm. And there are always groups and countries conducting some sort of insidious propaganda campaign with diabolical, greedy, and harmful agendas behind them. That's what's going on in the world today. It's been going on forever. And what's the evidence in history and in Israel at the present time to suggest that that's the case? What's actually happening in the world today, that there is some insidious agenda going on? What is evident in history and in Israel right now is that opinions and beliefs can be changed in an instant, just like that. Not by truth, not by facts, but by well-crafted propaganda campaigns that involve specific messaging and repetition, sufficient repetition. Just as the world can turn anti-Semitic overnight, and hateful racism can be justified to judge and punish an entire race of people just because of their skin color, it's true also that the world can become anti-Christian at any given moment. It's just a matter of creating an effective message said often enough to turn people against Christianity. That's how easy it is. People are easily duped. They really are. At large, sheep that are easily led to the slaughter and feeling good about it the whole way. This is the reality of worldview warfare, and the reason it's imperative to learn how to recognize it and fight it. If we don't, we're going to fall victim ourselves to the propaganda campaigns of Antichrist and be swept up in the current of absurdity and feeling good about it. It's important to understand, and it's important in understanding our times to recognize the similarity of the agenda of Satan and what he has planned for in Israel and also today in Iran and Hamas and what their plans are. And there's something very interesting when you look at Satan's agenda, Hamas's agenda, and Iran's agenda, and they all have Israel involved. There's a lot of insight to gain from seeing the similarities repeated at different times in different locations around the world. Seeing Satan's intentions repeatedly bubbling up throughout human history in various groups in various locations around the world reminds us something very important. Satan is in control. He's controlling worldview opinions from behind the scenes. He's guiding humanity on a course of chronic division, unrest, war, and suffering. And he's working through others as proxies to conduct his sinister plan. Revelation chapter 12, let's look at that chapter there, verses 3 and 4. It reveals Satan's ultimate agenda and goal. It says, "And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born." talking about Israel and Jesus Christ coming from the lineage in Israel. What this verse shows us and tells us and reminds us, Satan wants to prevent the existence, the presence, and the message of Christ in the world. Of course, eliminating Jesus would be the ultimate censorship, wouldn't it? Eliminating Jesus would eliminate the message of God, because Jesus is the Word of God. He is the message of God. But of course, attempting to eliminate Jesus Christ is the ultimate absurdity. Because John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Well, Jesus is God. He's eternal and all-powerful. He's the creator of all things. It's impossible to eliminate God. Amen. The absurdity of rebelling against God reveals the insanity of Satan. Amen. That's not to say he's dumb, and we should never underestimate his cleverness and his genius. But he's foolish, and he's insane in his attempts to censor and eliminate God and his message. To emphasize his insanity and his delusion, consider his future condemnation and destruction, which have been recorded and written down in the Bible. For example, Revelation chapter 20, verse 10 says, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Now, Satan knows the Bible. He knows this passage. He knows his future. He knows it better than any of us, better than anyone. He knows God's power. He was there in heaven with God. And yet, he's justified his rebellion in his mind. He's insane. He's deluded. But he's cunning, being more subtle than any other creature, as it tells us in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. And the combination of insanity and genius makes him very, very dangerous. That's Satan's goal for Israel. That's Satan's first goal for Jesus, for Christ. But Satan's second goal aligns with his ultimate goal against Christ, and that's found in Revelation chapter 12, verses 15 through 17, which reveals Satan's intent to destroy Israel, who is designated as God's special nation on earth. It says this, "And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." Now, the flood refers to the global decree of Satan to mobilize his demonic minions and the human population for a search and destroy mission of all Jews. And remember, Satan has one-third of all the myriad of angels. He has no lack of minions to do his bidding, who followed him in his rebellion against God and who are at his command during this time. And I also want to mention Revelation 13:7, which says of the beast, who is Satan's proxy. During the last half of the 7 years of great tribulation, it says, "And it was given unto him," that is the beast, "to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations." The beast, as Satan's proxy, is determined to exterminate all believers, Jews and Gentiles. What's the driving force behind the beast's insidious intention to destroy Israel and all Christians, all believers? Revelation 13, verse 4 says of the world population of humans at large, and they worshiped who? The dragon. That's why I refer to this in these last 3.5 years on earth that before Armageddon, there will be the religion of the red dragon. It's not going to be Catholicism. It's not going to be Islam. It's going to be the outright worship of Satan himself. It will be the religion of the red dragon. And they worship the dragon. They know exactly who he is, which gave power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? The dragon is that red dragon mentioned in Revelation chapter 12, that old serpent, the devil, Satan. The beast is Satan's proxy, carrying out Satan's intentions. The agenda of the beast aligns with the agenda of Satan because Satan controls and empowers the beast. The agenda to eliminate Israel is the telltale sign, an indication of Satan's control and influence in the world. Notice this same agenda is stated in the 2021 bill just passed a couple of years ago into law by the Iranian government. This law legalizes and requires that the Iranian government have the goal to destroy Israel by the year 2041. Is that not uncanny that Satan's goal and agenda is manifested in law in a nation? And not only that, but is accepted and not condemned by other countries. There it is, that bubbling up of Satan's agenda. Once again, the 1988 Hamas Covenant, titled The Covenant of the Islamic Resistance Movement, declares the sole purpose of Hamas's existence. It says, quote, Israel will exist and will continue to exist until Islam will obliterate it. Does that sound like genocide? Isn't that something the world cries out against and condemns? Genocide, genocide, genocide? Where's the condemnation and the outcry against this recorded in the very contract and the covenant that defines and describes the mission of Hamas? Where's the condemnation of that? And where does such diabolical and sinister intents like this to obliterate, to cause a genocide of a nation of a people come from? Satan, who is the God of this world. This is genocide of a nation encoded into law to define the purpose of a group's existence. Ismail Ghani, the commander-in-chief of Iran's Quds Force, said in August 6, 2022, that Hezbollah's sons are making plans to bring down the last blow against the Zionist regime and to realize the wish of Imam Khomeini to eradicate Israel from the map and from the face of the earth, end of quote. Is that not a call and a decree for genocide of a people? Where's the outcry against that? That's coming right out of Iran's chief commander, Hamas, and Hezbollah. Just like the beast is a proxy of Satan, Hezbollah and Hamas are proxies of Iran. They're all proxies of Satan. The same agenda comes bubbling up to the surface, even today. That's how to understand our times. Nothing new, because Satan is not new. Same agenda as he's always had, keeps bubbling up over and over again. In 1919, for example, Adolf Hitler wrote about his agenda for Nazi Germany, saying, the final goal must be the removal of the Jews, quote. It continues, quote, to accomplish these goals, only a government of national power is capable, and never a government of national weakness. No, you got to have a strong national government to eradicate and obliterate another people. That's what his call was for, end of quote. This quote is found in the Gemlich letter if you're fact-checking and looking that up. And according to the diary of the mistress of Benito Mussolini, the Italian dictator during World War II, as she wrote and claimed that Mussolini said, quote, "These disgusting Jews, I must destroy them all." Satan's agenda, in other words, was not limited just to the country, a country, Nazi Germany. Satan's agenda can be found worldwide throughout history and in all countries. Yep, even in the United States. And we saw that on our college campuses, even recently, right now, understanding our times. Despicable racism, despicable cries and calls for eradicating people because of their ethnicity, the skin of their color, their religion. Satan's agenda. It is Satan's agenda to divide and conquer and perpetuate human suffering and misery. It's Satan behind that. In AD 70, the Romans besieged the city of Jerusalem, destroyed the Jewish temple, killed 1 million Jews, and enslaved 97,000 more, according to the ancient historian Josephus. Then in AD 132, under Emperor Hadrian, the Romans devastated the entire city of Jerusalem, expelled the Jews from the city, left them stateless, renamed the land Palestine, and declared the time of the Jews is over. Once again, the manifestation of Satan's agenda has not been limited to a generation or a time and place in history. It's been everywhere. Why? Because Satan is the god of this world, not the god of a country or a place at a particular time. Martin Luther published a book in 1543 titled "The Jews and Their Lies," in which he expressed his anti-Semitism in endorsement of replacement theology, is what it's called, if you want to look that up. And this is what Martin Luther of the Lutheran denomination wrote. "Accordingly, it must and dare not be considered a trifling matter, but a most serious one to seek counsel against this and to save our souls from the Jews." That is, from the devil and from eternal death. That's strong language. That's about as strong as you can get. That is as hateful and anti-Semitic as ever stated by anyone. He goes on in his quote, he says, "My advice, as I said earlier, is first that their synagogues be burned down, and that all who are able toss in sulfur and pitch. It would be good if someone could also throw in some hellfire. That would demonstrate to God our serious resolve and be evidence to all the world that it was in ignorance that we tolerated such houses and people in which the Jews have reviled God, our dear Creator and Father, and His Son most shamefully up till now, but that we have now given them their due reward." That's right out of the mouth of hell, right out of the mouth of Satan. That's what this is. And so, yes, again, once again, we see Satan's agenda is not limited just to the secular world. It's in the religious communities as well. In the Bible and ancient history, there are records of how the Assyrians conquered Israel, then the Babylonians, and then Haman, the prime minister of Persia, decreed a genocide of the Jews in Persia. Remember that story in Esther. Then Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes, mentioned in the book of Daniel as a foreshadow of the beast, he led a vicious attack on Israel. Man, you gotta wonder, why is Israel still around today with all that hateful viciousness and attempts to destroy them? But by the mercy of God, in the corrupted doctrines of the Catholic Church, replacement theology was invented to argue that the Jews were no longer God's chosen people. Emperor Constantine declared the need to cleanse the church of all things Jewish. Jews were purged from the Catholic Church, and associating with Jews was forbidden. In 365 AD, the Synod of Laodicea ordered all Christians who still kept the Saturday Sabbath, like the Jews, to be publicly excommunicated from the church, and in some cases, sentenced to death. And you can find a lengthy timeline just on Wikipedia if you want to look that up. The same spirit of vicious evil and genocide that's attempting to eradicate Jews in Israel today is and has been focused on eradicating Christians as well. From Herod trying to exterminate Christ to the Jews crucifying Christ to Saul imprisoning Christians for punishment by death, Christ and his followers have been persecuted, tortured, and killed. Nero's campaign to kill Christians was the first state-sponsored persecution to rid the world of Christianity in the Roman Empire. And as it happened once, it will happen again. Why? The God of this world is Satan, and as long as he is God of this world, persecution of anything associated with Christ and all believers, Jew or Gentile, will be his targets. In a 9th century hadith of the Islamic religion collection in a book of Sunnah, the reference of Sahih Muslim, verse 93, says, I quote, I will expel the Jews and Christians from the Arabian Peninsula and will not leave any but Muslim. During the French Revolution's reign of terror, revolutionaries called for the death and replacement of all Christian leaders. In 1792, there was a campaign in France to de-Christianize, specifically to de-Christianize the nation and conduct a campaign to establish France as an atheist nation. In 1917, the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia devoted itself to eliminating Christianity with scientific atheism, which they promoted as the only truth. So they confiscated church properties, demolished and converted churches into secular buildings, arrested and executed clergies and believers, and banned religious education and publications. And they also tried to undermine the faith of the people by spreading propaganda and humiliating them and mocking them. According to the World Watch list of 2024, there's a list of 50 countries in the world described as the worst persecutors of Christians today. Now, that's the top 50. That's not all of them persecuting. That's the worst 50. That was the cutoff line. There's more. The point is, the spirit of Antichrist, which is the spirit of Satan, that old serpent, the devil, is alive today and continuing his campaign to exterminate anything associated with Christ, anything associated with Jews and Christians. The world cultures have been and are oscillating between two sides, God's and Satan's. There's a spiritual warfare raging with the result of death and destruction, both physically and spiritually. With Satan as the God of this world, Christians, as well as the Jews, should anticipate and prepare for the inevitable persecution of the severest kind. And I realize that, oh, well, that's just too unbelievable, especially in America with the luxury living that Christians enjoy. It's not that way throughout all the world. But we are the exception in history, not the rule, and we've seen how world opinion can change in an instant. So whatever blessings we enjoy today could vaporize tomorrow, literally. Our freedom, prosperity, and comfort in being Christian is too easily taken for granted. The point is that Satan's agenda is continuing to manifest itself throughout the world at different times and at different places, but with the same Antichrist tactics, the same message and the same lies. It reappears over and over again with the same intention, namely to destroy anything associated with Christ, whether it be Jew or Gentile. It is a miracle Israel survives to this day and still exists. It's a miracle they survived the Holocaust in Nazi Germany, or still exist throughout history despite all the attempts to eliminate them. It's a miracle Christians have survived the Roman purging and Catholic inquisitions. It's a miracle that Israel survived Satan's global and genocidal campaign in the last 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. It's a miracle. And this should be what we remember and understand in our times. The survival of God's message in Israel and in Christianity is a miracle. And only by that means, and because of that, it will not fade away. Not one jot nor tittle of God's word shall pass away, because God said so. Apart from divine intervention, it would be absolutely impossible for Jews and Christians to exist. God's message and his followers exist in the world only because of God's intervention. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 through 7 refers to this intervention, saying, "And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth, that is, restrains, will let until he be taken out of the way." This verse is speaking about God's Spirit restraining Satan at this time. And you say, well, the world is horrible, it's terrible, there's all this misery and suffering. If you think it's bad now, wait until the Spirit of God is removed and Satan has free reign on the earth. We haven't seen anything yet. And there's a time coming when Satan will be unrestrained. Without God's restraint on Satan, Israel and Christianity would not exist today. Regarding Israel today, understanding our times, perhaps the most insidious propaganda being accepted right now by world leaders and the world population is that there ought to be a ceasefire with Hamas. And there's a parallel to Christianity here. But what makes this proposal insidious is that the ceasefire is a call for peace and reconciliation with the devil's proxy. Making a pact with the devil? It appears to be calling for humanitarian goodwill. Well, what decent human would be opposed to such a good thing? Peace and humanitarian goodwill. Everyone wants that. But let's not forget, Israel was already abiding by a ceasefire agreement October 7, 2023. Israel has abided by numerous ceasefire agreements over the past 50 years. There have been numerous ceasefire agreements because Israel's enemies and neighbors keep breaking the previous ceasefire agreements. Israel retaliates to protect itself, and then the world and the UN calls for a ceasefire yet again, with the expectation that Israel will show restraint and decency. Failure on the part of Israel to comply with a ceasefire makes Israel appear guilty and being the bully, not the victim. Appearing to be the bully because they always are the stronger and the mightier. But you see, Israel loses again and again with ceasefire agreements. They lose when they're attacked and they lose when they react. They can't win. Continual ceasefire agreements doom Israel to lose and be subjected to attack after attack after attack. And this is absolutely insane. As the saying goes, insanity is repeating the same thing again and again, expecting different results. What's driving this insane negativity towards Israel, regardless of what they do? Satan's agenda. He's the God of this world and controls the perspectives of the world, even though it may be absurd, because that's how much influence and control Satan has over world opinion. A ceasefire is asking Israel to accept the killing of their citizens by vicious attacks and endure ongoing missile strikes on its civilian population, just to accept it. A ceasefire is asking Israel to allow their enemies to regroup and plan the next attack. And that is absolutely unreasonable. But Israel's been doing that for over 50 years now, doing that unreasonable thing with the same predictable outcome that has been going on for years now. Now, in light of the connection I just made between Satan and Hamas and all the world events committed to the extermination of Israel, making a pact with Hamas is the same as making a pact with the devil. The agreement, the contract, the pact, the peace accord, or whatever you want to call it at the time, will not be honored and never will be honored, because there is no honor with the devil and his proxies. They have no honor. They have no morality. They have no decency. They're driven by one evil goal, as it is written and encoded into their laws. Exterminate Israel. Their one mission goal and reason for existence is to obliterate Israel. They're devoted followers of Satan's agenda. Breaching the ceasefire agreements over the years was inevitable and predictable based on the history and stated goals of Hamas and Iran and all the other enemies of Israel. They're not interested in continuing a ceasefire. In fact, a permanent ceasefire would be contrary and contradictory to their written goals. Rather, ceasefire agreements are opportunities for them to regroup and prepare for the next attack, like their father, the devil. They'll never stop their pursuit to exterminate Israel until they cease to exist. Looking at Hamas and thinking, well, these kind and decent people, as some think, if Hamas were truly decent, they would never have violated the ceasefire agreement in the first place. They would have never tortured and brutalized and raped and slaughtered and killed Jews and babies. If the UN and other continues and others in the world countries were truly decent and humanitarian in their policies, they would strongly condemn Hamas, Iran, Hezbollah, and other genocidal terrorist groups. They would strongly condemn them, and they would demand the immediate, unconditional release of all the hostages. Why wait? Why, if they're such decent people, why wait? But this is from a biblical worldview perspective, in a world ruled by Satan. Instead of the world mobilizing its forces against terrorists and anti-Semites, they're urging acceptance of opportunities to aid Israel's enemies with a ceasefire and conditional negotiations to trade civilians for terrorists. This becomes obvious, and you see right through it when you understand the times and what's behind it. There should never have been a breach of the ceasefire agreements in the first place, had there been any honor. The brutal slaughter of citizens should have never happened, and there should have never been any kidnappings. Babies should not have been burned and beheaded. No one should have been burned alive, raped, tortured, or mutilated. The cruel, heartless brutality of Hamas on citizens is pure evil right out of the depths of hell. It is the work of Satan, and they are like their father, the devil. And I conclude with this. You cannot make a pact with the devil expecting that it will be honored and all will be well. Satan has one agenda he lives by. He will never stop attempting to obliterate Israel and Christians until he is stopped. As long as Satan is the god of this world, there will never be peace on earth. And Jews and Christians will never truly be safe. This is how to understand our times. Amen.
We're glad you joined us for our services here at Mission Boulevard Baptist Church. If this program has helped you and you would like to have more information about trusting Christ as your Lord and Savior, or if you would like to have resources to help you in your spiritual walk and growth, please email us at the address on your screen. We look forward to having you join us again online, but you are always welcome to personally attend any of our services at the Mission Boulevard Baptist Church here in Fayetteville, Arkansas.
Hi, this is Dr. Patrick Briney. I hope and pray this important lesson has improved your life. For more life-changing lessons and to get your free book that I've written for you, visit my website at patrickbriney.com. And please share this valuable lesson with at least three of your friends to enrich their lives in our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll upload my next lesson for you soon. God bless.